Welcome to the UBS Advisor Experience. This is a podcast series with advisors who have recently joined UBS from across the industry. In candid conversations, they will each share their experiences about moving to UBS, what it was like for them, what it was like for their team, and their clients. You'll get to hear firsthand about the resources and support at UBS that can help take your business to the next level. I'm your host, Emily De La Riguera. Let's get started. Welcome back to the podcast, UBS Advisor Experience. I'm your host, Emily De La Riguera, and with me today is Nathan Hickney, who recently joined us from Morgan Stanley. Nathan is part of our private wealth management division. He is a senior vice president and one of the leads for the Narragansett Bay Group. Nathan, thanks so much for joining us, and welcome to the podcast.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Great. Well, for the benefit of all of our listeners, why don't you start by just telling us a little bit about the structure of your team, number of professionals, and how you're set up?
Sure thing. So we have a five-person team comprised of three financial advisors and two support staff professionals. We work out of the Providence, Rhode Island office. We spent the preceding 11 years at Morgan Stanley, and we, as I would expect would be typical, we work primarily with individuals and families, with clients located all throughout the country.
Perfect. Nathan, you have a very interesting story around the recruiting process. When you and I have spoken in the past, one of the things that you've shared with me that I think is really important to some of our listeners out there is you used the recruiting process as an opportunity to rebrand your team, meaning you moved from the wealth management division at Morgan Stanley to the private wealth management division here at UBS. Tell our listeners a little bit about how you thought about the recruiting process and specifically that rebranding opportunity and why it was important for your clients.
Yeah, so that definitely, I think, puts us in a little bit of a unique camp in terms of making the decision to change firms. I think it was sort of timely, I would say, for the private wealth management team to tap us on the shoulder at that moment in time. Over the last decade or so at Morgan Stanley, we have worked really hard to refine our business and continue to move up market and work with larger and larger families. And, you know, as we've gone through that evolution at Morgan Stanley, we, you know, as you mentioned, we're in the global wealth management division, and we obviously had the option to move into private wealth there at Morgan Stanley. So we were sort of considering different options and thinking that through and how that would be received by clients and how that would be received by management internally at Morgan Stanley, and sort of how we would deal with the administrative piece of kind of parting ways with clients that maybe no longer fit the business model moving forward. So while we were sort of considering all of these things in the background, going along with our business, the management team at UBS reached out and said, hey, we're interested in what you folks are doing, and we have a potential opportunity to have you join us out of our Providence office and be the exclusive private wealth team in that particular market. And, you know, it kind of made us pause a little bit and say, this is interesting. This is unique. We've heard a lot of recruiting stories over the years, and this one kind of stuck out to us, I think, largely because it was very relevant to what we were working on internally in our business. So we started talking a little bit about what that would look and feel like and how we might approach a transition. I think one of the challenges that we had at Morgan Stanley was this sort of optic change between going from global wealth to private wealth. Whereas if you sort of moved firms with the understanding that you're kind of moving into a new division, you're going to be starting fresh at the new firm, we felt like clients would easily be able to digest that change. I think that clients that maybe no longer fit the business model, they understood it was going to be very easy to part ways with those folks and make sure they were aligned with an advisor that would take good care of them. But I think more importantly, it let us sort of start fresh without any preconceived sort of notions of what PWM or private wealth was going to look like. And we were able to learn from UBS on how they've built this division around this type of client base. And so it really served as a marking point of a major shift in our business. And it allowed us to, I think, articulate that out to clients in a way where clients, it made sense, clients felt comfortable. And it really, I think, is going to serve, when we look back at this over time, it will be sort of the major turning point in our business. So that's how we ended up engaging with private wealth at UBS. And it, you know, it was just, I think it was so timely, it made the decision a lot easier for us, because we, as I mentioned, we sort of fleshed out the path of going into private wealth at Morgan Stanley, and that didn't feel like the right fit. So one major consideration, I guess.
No doubt. And I would say, you know, just from my own experience, the rebranding opportunity, it does really mark not only an opportunity for you and your team to have a more unique story to tell your clients, but also a really compelling one as to how they can be better served by going into a different division at a different firm with additional resources and capabilities. So interesting and unique way of doing it, because it's not the typical path, but certainly one that I know you've had great success with. And I've seen some others have some good success with that as well.
For sure. For sure. And it felt like, just as a side note, it felt like, I think when we brought it out to clients and explained to them what was happening, I think it was genuinely a better fit for them, right? And I think that this division within the company is tooled up to serve that particular client base incredibly well. And I think that clients felt, rightfully so, like this was, you know, in their best interest and sort of an exciting change for them.
So let's stay on that for a second before we talk about the framework for how you evaluated UBS versus any of the other firms and their private wealth management division. Let's stay on the point about the private wealth piece specifically. What have you noticed since joining UBS? Obviously, you did a lot of due diligence and research to make sure that you were joining the right firm and also that private wealth management was actually going to better serve your clients. But what have you noticed since being here at UBS that has given credence to that belief that you had?
Yeah, so I guess that one of the things that was very attractive is the more boutique feel of the firm. I think that UBS does a really nice job of making a big firm feel small and bringing sort of powerhouse resources to what feels like more of a boutique offering. And I think that we as a team, you know, we have a significant portion of our business in alternative investments. Almost 30% of our book of business is in private alternatives. And as a result of that, the field of firms that we could consider was narrowed substantially, because we wanted to make sure that whatever firm we landed at had an equal to or better alternatives platform for clients. So that, as you would expect, made the field very narrow. So we sort of knew it was going to be one of the big firms. And then UBS, I think through the recruiting process, was able to articulate to us how they approach alternatives and how they build their platform for asset management. And I think that both on the stock and bond side and on the private alternative side, I think that UBS approaches that piece of the business incredibly thoughtfully. And I think it stood out among the peer group. And so I think when we were considering a change, many of the firms sort of that we had talked to over the years had sort of knocked themselves out of the box with what I think were inadequate offerings in those categories. And I think UBS has, even though the offering might be smaller, I think it's more thoughtful. And as the result of that, I think clients will be better served in this platform.
That's great. And do you feel, you know, you've been here now for about a year. Are you hearing from clients that that belief is in fact true? And what's the response been?
Yeah, so I would say the response overall has been very positive. One of the things that I think stood out is that during the recruiting process, a lot of things get said, right? Management mentions a lot of things. They naturally are trying to highlight all of the strengths and, you know, showcase the opportunities that exist within the firm. And I would say that the vast majority of the things that were said during the recruiting process have been equal to or greater than the way they were positioned. So I would say, yes, clients have been incredibly receptive and appreciative of the offering here. And I think we have refined substantially our way of doing business once we landed here, after learning what we've learned and seeing behind the curtain and trying to just do things better. And all of those things that we brought to clients that we were actually a little reluctant to do so because I think sometimes you worry that clients are going to want to just do the same old thing and they don't want change. But in fact, we found in our experience that it was the opposite. I think clients were hungry for refinement. I think they were hungry for learning that we were humble enough to say, hey, we think we can do this better. And we've learned that there are tools that maybe we weren't using or methods that maybe we weren't previously deploying that we can now bring to you, that I think clients were appreciative of that.
That is so different. Truly, that is so different than how many advisors think. And what I mean by that is change is hard for anybody. It's hard for clients. It's hard for advisors. It's hard for us as humans, right? And many advisors, no matter what firm they join, many advisors look at the change of moving from one firm to another, the change that they're going to have to communicate to clients as to why they're moving. That alone can be big enough that that becomes their sole focus. But you and your team, I love this, you and your team took that a step further, and you didn't just change firms. You changed firms, you changed divisions, moving into private wealth management. And as an example, you changed how you manage money at UBS. So you have three really big changes that you're introducing to clients all at one time when you move. And that's something really different, because most advisors really focus on just making that one change and spreading any more changes out over a longer period of time. So tell our audience a little bit about, you know, that example of, you know, the change in which you did investing at Morgan Stanley versus how you're approaching investing here at UBS, because I think if advisors hear from you, not just about the change in moving firms and not just about the change in moving into private wealth management and really upstreaming and upscaling your business, but also the humility that you brought to your clients and to try and build a better mousetrap of constantly reinventing how to do things better and better and better. That is so different and so unique from so many advisors that I think if more of the advisors that are looking to join us can think about that, that's a really powerful tool. So I did a lot of talking there, but for the benefit of our listeners, tell us a little bit about that example around the change in investing that you took when you moved over to UBS.
Yeah. I would say to you that we were kind of in that camp that you just outlined when we were thinking about making a change, right? We were of the camp of, let's just see if we can pick up our business, move it over, do some rebranding, do a little bit of refinement around the edges, and then, you know, hope we don't get wiped out in the process, right? I think that's the general consensus view of advisors that are thinking about something like this. So I do think that I don't want to give us too much credit, right? I think some of the credit comes from as we were getting deeper and deeper into the ecosystem of UBS, and we started sort of lifting up all of the stones in this transition, we started to think, you know what? This is the perfect time, even though it's going to be a pretty heavy lift, to, you know, sort of reassess everything that we do. And that goes from intra-team communication to asset management, to client communication. We sort of relooked at everything. And in doing so, we solicited feedback from management. We solicited feedback from peers, other FAs that have come before us and transitioned their books, existing advisors that exist within the UBS system already. And in looking at that more closely and trying really hard to look critically at everything that we did, I think what we realized is there are things that we could be doing better. And there were things at UBS that we could learn from. And to your point, so much so that we have completely changed direction on the way that we manage money. At Morgan Stanley, we ran what I would call a portfolio management book, which would be the equivalent of PMP here. At Morgan Stanley, it was PM. It was a fully discretionary asset management platform, stocks, bonds, and then we did all of our alternative investments in brokerage. And all of the asset management that we were doing stock and bond-wise, we were pretty much picking the stocks and bonds ourselves and managing them with discretion. And I think that part of that was because we fell into that at Morgan Stanley. Morgan Stanley's asset management program was different. It has its strengths and weaknesses. Whereas when we kind of look behind the curtain here at UBS, I think the offering is so compelling that it makes you sort of question, A, does it make sense for us to do this ourselves when the firm seems to do a really, really nice job at it? And then two, is it really in our client's best interest for us to keep doing it ourselves when we know that this offering exists that will likely produce a better outcome over time? And so we have since migrated our entire asset management business over to more of an outsourced model where all of our stock and bond business is now outsourced through SMAs. And the UBS platform has so many zero-cost SMAs, we were able to do this on a cost-neutral basis to clients. The next question is, well, how do you even execute a transition to a outsourced model when you have discretionary program that you've built out over a decade with huge embedded capital gains and all of these things? And how do you do that in a way that's A, cost-neutral, and B, not going to turn over portfolios in a way that it's not taxably efficient for clients? So thankfully, UBS has a really, really interesting tax program that allows for sort of the slow migration of assets over to their asset management program and do so in a way where it's incredibly thoughtful and mindful of taxation and can ease that realization over time. And I think that not only do the clients feel like they're in a good program that's institutionally managed at this point with, I think, a cost structure that is similar to, if not less than in some cases, what we were previously doing at Morgan Stanley. But now they have additional benefits like this ongoing tax service that we've been able to utilize. And I think the ancillary benefit the clients will receive is as the result of our outsourcing of this piece of our business, it has freed up some time that we can repurpose into what we're considering sort of client service related items, right? Increasing our planning capabilities, increasing some of our white glove service type items. And so I think that, yeah, that was a very long way of saying, once we saw behind the curtain, we realized there were things we could do better. This was taking a big slice of humble pie here and realizing we think there's a better way of doing this. We're actually kind of sad a little bit that we didn't have access to this earlier on in our careers. But we have since, I think, righted the ship there. And moving forward, we're really excited. And we think it's going to be incremental to both client performance, experience, and ultimately our business growth.
That is honestly incredible. I mean, when you think about it, if you're going to make a change for any advisor listening to this, if you're going to make a change, this is a moment in time that you're hopefully not going to do many more times in your career, right? You don't want to be changing firms on a regular basis. But if you're going to take that opportunity to really rebrand yourself, pick up and move, you're almost looking a gift horse in the mouth by not really reevaluating how you're doing everything across the board, whether it's money management, whether it's, as you said, intra-team communication, the story you tell to clients, swimming more upstream, focusing more on the ultra high net worth clientele that you work with. I think this is just so different than what most advisors think about when they're looking to make a move. How did you get the rest of your team? Because you're not just a one-man show that can kind of make this decision and convince clients of this. This took a whole team to buy into this vision that you had around taking a slice of humble pie, reevaluating how you do business all across the board. How did you get your team to buy into that?
You know, thankfully, I think as a team, we are very like-minded. And I think we all share sort of one guiding principle, which is if you can be doing better, let's try to do that. And I think this situation, it became obvious that this was better for clients and better for our business and better for future growth and scale and et cetera. I think it was an easy buy-in. I think the hardest thing was convincing ourselves that clients were going to be receptive to it. And interestingly, that was the easiest part. Of all of the clients that we brought over from Morgan Stanley, not one client said no to this revamp.
Not one. Wow.
Not one.
That is going to be shocking to a lot of advisors because so often you think you know your clients better than anybody. And sometimes we make assumptions that they're going to not like something or they're not going to be interested in something. So for you to have not one to push back on that, that's a true statement to don't assume what your clients are going to say, let them decide for themselves, right? But also one of the things that stands out to me, I don't know if you're a Ted Lasso fan, I happen to really like that show, but the way in which you approached that process between doing the due diligence really reminds me of his quote, be curious, not judgmental, not judging what the clients are going to say, not assuming what they're going to say, but being really curious about what more you could be delivering to clients, what you could be doing differently, and constantly learning and being curious about what you could do better, what your team can do better, how your clients can be better served at a different firm. So I love that. I think that is totally next level, the recruit transition for advisors when they're thinking about making a move to a firm, is really being curious and not assuming what your clients are going to say, because you're a perfect example of clients not giving you any pushback and not assuming that they're going to push back and have them actually, you know, follow suit very smoothly for you.
Yeah. And side note, I am a Ted Lasso fan, so you're in good company. And good. I would say one thing about the assumption piece. I think that it's very easy to assume that the client, because they're comfortable, right? There's this whole, you know, the let a sleeping dog lie kind of concept, right? Where you're afraid to shuffle the deck a little bit or afraid to ruffle feathers. But I think that most of our clients, right, probably all of them are very smart people. And to not pose this to them and give them the credit to assume that they will be able to recognize that this is in their self-interest and in their best interest, I think would be doing them a disservice. And I think that we took the approach of, at the risk of making people feel like maybe they had been missing out over time, right? Because I think that was the natural risk, right? You say, hey, we have this better way of doing stuff. And then they all of a sudden feel like, well, have I been missing out all these years? And I think that was a little bit of a little bit of trust that we put in clients, in that, you know, we were operating always under their best interest. However, you know, I'm less afraid of someone who, in light of new data and new information, changes gears. I'm more afraid of the person who, when faced with new data and new ideas, doesn't evolve. Right. So I think you get some credit from clients from that. And like I said, it was very, very well received by everybody. And now, obviously, we're hopeful, fingers crossed, that, you know, things continue to be as they were and things will be great moving forward. That's certainly our hope.
That's so good. I hope anybody at any firm, not just Morgan Stanley, but any of the recruits that are at other firms that are contemplating a move to UBS, I hope they're listening to this, because I think what you're saying truly is next level, between being curious, the client reaction. I mean, I can't think, as a client myself, I can't think of a better vote of confidence in my advisor if they said, hey, listen, I've done extensive due diligence, I've done extensive research, and this is what I'm suggesting, and I'm humble enough to admit that things need to change, both from an investment standpoint. I mean, the world changes, life changes. There's so many changes that happen that warrant doing something differently. And it's so hard sometimes for people, whether it's, you know, advisors or just us as humans, it's hard to want to admit that, yeah, things change. And, you know, what I did 10 years ago for you might not be what's the right thing now. And so to use this as a major catalyst and marked opportunity to change all of that is really incredible. I actually, Nathan, I can't believe we're coming up at the close of this. This has probably been one of the fastest podcasts. I feel like we've been doing this for 8 minutes, not 30 minutes. So while I have so many more questions that I want to ask you, and for those of you listening, you can reach out on our FA Experience Live page to request a live consultation with an advisor who's joined from Morgan Stanley, like Nathan or like others. So if you want to continue to learn more about this, I'd really encourage you to reach out. But that said, just to come to a close, Nathan, for today's conversation, what advice, and I think I know the answer, but I would be foolish for assuming so, but what advice would you give to someone at another firm contemplating the move to UBS right now?
Yeah, I guess I would say focus less on the negative things at your current firm that may be opening your mind to a possible change, and focus on the positive things that a change could bring to your practice and your clients, and that could make you better at what you do. And I think that if you focus on those positive things, it's going to kind of pull you in the right direction. And I wouldn't be afraid of change. I think change and refinement is absolutely healthy.
I love it. That is so good. This has probably been one of my favorite podcasts. I don't know that compliance is going to like me saying that, but you've been fantastic, Nathan. I so appreciate you joining. For those of you out there listening, I think this is probably one of the smartest advisors that I have worked with a really interesting and unique story. So stay curious. I think that if I take anything away from this podcast as an advisor looking to make a move, stay curious. Don't assume. Nathan, thank you so much for joining us today. Such a pleasure to be with you. I can't wait to see the next level of what you decide to change next in your business and keep growing.
Well, thank you very much for having me. And thank you to all of the listeners, and good luck.
Thank you so much to all of our listeners for joining us in this open conversation. I hope you found it helpful as you continue to explore the possibilities here at UBS. To hear more stories from advisors who have recently joined UBS, you can visit our Financial Advisor Experience Hub at www.ubs.com/advisor-recruiting. I also would encourage you to have a live consultation with advisors who have recently joined us from your current firm to answer additional questions you may have. To schedule a confidential consultation, visit our Financial Advisor Experience Hub again. That address is www.ubs.com/advisor-recruiting. Have a great week, and until next time, your host, Emily.
The material presented in this podcast has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient, and is published for informational purposes only. It is intended to be educational in nature. It is not an advertisement, nor is it a solicitation or any offer to buy or sell any financial instruments or to participate in any particular trading strategy, nor should it be viewed as such by the listener. UBS AG or its affiliates and its employees are not affiliated with any third-party speakers mentioned. None of UBS or its representatives is suggesting that the recipient or any other person take a specific course of action or any action at all in response to this podcast. By accessing and listening to this podcast, the listener acknowledges and agrees with the intended purpose described here and disclaims any expectation or belief that the information constitutes investment advice or a solicitation of any kind. Any financial instruments or services described in this podcast may not be eligible for sale in all jurisdictions or to certain categories of investors. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients, UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct. They differ in material ways and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide to you about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review the client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary or ask your UBS financial advisor for a copy. Copyright UBS 2023, all rights reserved. The key symbol and UBS are among the registered and unregistered trademarks of UBS. UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS Group AG, member of FINRA and SIPC.